On this edition of Fast Talk, we talk with NBC's latest edition. Lee Diffie joins us on the show, and we'll be chatting about 65-year-old Mike Wallace attempting to make this year's edition of the Daytona 500. All that's coming up here on Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
It is our first original edition of Fast Talk for the year 2025, and we have our little band back together to chat about racing and racing into the future. Hi, I'm Doug Rice. I'll be joined by PRN's Alexis Erickson and PRN's newest lead anchor, Brad Gilley. Alexis, good to see you back in studio. Trust that you and your family had happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all of those things.
All of those things are true. You know, I have to say, it took me back a little bit when you said our 2025 edition. I mean, 2025, just in general, the year 2025 blows my mind. Because I do remember, I'm not that old, but I remember like Y2K. Yeah. You know, being a thing. So to know that
computers off at midnight.
To know that we're in the year 2025 is kind of mind blowing to me. But yeah, we had a wonderful holiday. My husband, I have a 3-year-old son, so of course that makes Christmas, you know, just filled with joy. And we had a wonderful time. I hope the same for you and Penny.
We did. We had a great time down in Texas. Brad Gilley celebrated his holiday a little bit away from Concord, North Carolina, where our base camp's located. Brad?
A little bit away. And by the way, welcome to retirement, Doug Ooh. Rice, which is great that in your retirement. See, you're just like a NASCAR driver, by the way. I'm going to retire at the end of the season, but I'll be back for the Daytona 500.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But it was awesome. We had a great time here. You know, did a lot with the family, took care of a lot, which is always nice, sort of during what would be our mini off season. And then, spent the new year, Kathleen, my better half, and I just hung out with my parents and rang in the new year on the East Coast. We didn't ring in the new year on the West or the Central time zone because we went to bed early, like people our age do now.
That's amazing because, and I blame Alexis Erickson for this trend. I actually credit her.
I was going to say, I don't think blame is the right word.
I think credit. How many years ago was it when you got married?
Seven. Seven-year anniversary. I know, it's crazy. 7-year anniversary this past New Year's Eve.
And so we attended Alexis and Jordan's wedding in Uptown Charlotte. They insist you call it that because they're uppity. So we went to a really fun wedding.
Not us, the city of Charlotte.
And on New Year's Eve, and it was great. And that broke a streak of about 25 years of the Rices hosting a huge New Year's Eve party at our house. 40 or 50 people, revelry, and all the things that go with that. People sleeping under Christmas trees and midnight jaunts into the pool and all that. And we realized how nice it was to not host a party.
Yeah.
And it was like, we were set free from prison.
So what you're saying is it's been 7 years of bliss for you and Penny as well as for Jordan and I.
New Year's Eve has been great. We usually stay up and watch the ball drop.
Yeah.
But at 12:01.
I'm not going to lie. I fell asleep.
I'm checking out.
I did see the ball drop live, but was I asleep at some point between like 7 p.m. and midnight? Yeah, probably a couple times.
I came close. It was a struggle, but I did make it up and But thank you for getting married on New Year's Eve and getting us out of that. A lot of downtime. I realize my downtime now is going to be different than it was before. But I got invested in two different TV shows that I caught up on. Brad, did you watch all the X-Men movies?
Yes, I have. I believe I've watched all the X-Men movies. Okay. Maybe some of the more recent ones like Deadpool and Wolverine, although that doesn't fit into the same X-Men universe.
But it is considered X-Men.
Right.
There
okay.
13 X-Men movies, both the Deadpools and the Deadpool and Wolverine are considered X-Men movies, just by
okay.
the way.
Good
which
deal.
I love them because they're extremely raunchy and risque, but I laugh at them out loud. So
I have not seen the latest iteration of Deadpool and Wolverine, but
it is worth the watch. You know, don't watch it with anybody that's really sensitive to language and that sort of thing, but it is hilariously funny. And I've been watching the Halo sci-fi series.
Ah, I'm not caught up on the second season of Halo.
I just got into second season. I stayed up. I watched a whole season in one day.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
But it's like 45 minutes a show.
That's what you do when you're retired. You binge watch television.
And I just thought, I've not watched this. I'm going to try it. And the next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm stumbling down the hall. So
yeah. I'll watch Deadpool Wolverine on the airplane tomorrow based on your advice.
There you go.
As I'm on my way to Charlotte.
Yeah, just make sure.
Well, is that an airplane movie? I don't know.
Yeah, visually it's an airplane movie. As long as people can't hear the dialogue, you're going to be fine. And good luck with everybody's New Year's resolutions, whatever they're doing.
I have none. Zero.
Mine are boring on Monday.
I resolved to have zero resolutions.
I did read yesterday, and one of the local news stations was doing a thing about dry January, which I've done the last 5 or 6
years. You've done that, several years.
And said now almost 25% of Americans at least start January 1 doing dry January.
Yeah.
And I started just the opposite.
That's tough if you're reveling on New Year's Eve to not go over the threshold. You know, at 11:59, 9.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'm off.
That's true.
But I've got a good friend, and she tends bar at one of Salisbury's nicest restaurants. And she goes, you can tell. She goes, January, we're thin.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But February 1, man.
Well, it's funny because every year that you did that, you know, as the lead anchor of the Performance Racing Network, I always wondered how you did it because in January, we would have different things, different, you know, industry functions or whatever that we would go to, and it would be difficult for
you. It was like one long cocktail
party. Yes.
And that's the truth because there would be the National Motorsports Press Association convention. Well, that's 2 days, and there's an open bar there, and there's wine at the tables. There's a couple of big NASCAR functions that you would go to, same type of thing.
But you always... Yeah, I will give you credit. You always stood firm.
You know, well, once the toughest day to me in dry January is January 1st when all there is football on for 24 hours.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you can't run to the refrigerator and grab a beer.
Yeah.
You could, but, you know.
Yeah, especially after that Falcons game yesterday.
Oh, that one made me want to drink. Their whole season was just unbearable. Shame on you guys. Thank you for the nice jersey you gave me in Atlanta, but your performance on field was just awful.
Brad, why did you have to bring us down?
I didn't bring us down. I'm just, you know, I was trying to help illustrate what Doug was talking about.
If I can get through that without drinking, I can take on just about anything. Coming up, guys, we've got a really fun show. We're going to be talking with Lee Diffie, second year anchor now for NBC on television. I'm thrilled to chat with him. We'll talk about Lee's life, how he got to where he is, and then we'll keep him for another segment and talk about NASCAR and the racing nuts and bolts stuff. And then we're going to chat about Mike Wallace. He's 65 years old, and he's going to attempt the Daytona 500. All that's coming up here on Fast Talk.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Head into Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that's your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. Alexis and I are here in the studios of Charlotte Motor Speedway. Brad Gilley tucked away in his secret bunker somewhere deep in the heart of Texas. Our next guest, a guy that I have really enjoyed over the years listening to on television, describing a myriad of different motorsports. And last year, he was named the new lead anchor for NBC's NASCAR coverage, Lee Diffie. Lee, thanks for joining us on the show, and Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year, Doug. It's good to see you in a different form other than through the glass in between the commentary booths.
Yeah, that's usually Lee is to the left of me on the other side chatting with the folks over in NBC. Lee, we want to talk to you first about your story, and then we'll make the transition over into the NASCAR world and what's actually going on in the sport. Can you remember the first thing that you ever broadcast in the motorsports world?
Yes, I do. It was pretty humble beginnings. As a kid, my older brother and myself raced flat track motorcycles. And I stopped when I kind of focused a little bit more on my studies to go to university. My brother kept racing. And so I hung around that scene, and it was at my local motorcycle club just outside of Brisbane, Australia. And I sat in a wooden shack, like a wooden, to call it a tower is that's a stretch. So I sat in this wooden shack near the timing ladies, and I had a microphone and a can of Coke and like a wireless radio to put the microphone near the speaker for some intermission. And I called flat track motorcycles. I called nearly 100 races that day. They were short races, short laps, but I called nearly 100 races and I got paid $60. And that was when I was a university student. I was 20 years old. So that's how it all began.
And so obviously you got bit by the motorsports bug pretty early. Talk about the trajectory of your career and how you started out to where you are now doing multiple forms of just things that go fast.
Alexis, I grew up like in a motorsport household. My dad, my grandfather raced bikes. My dad didn't, and that was a source of frustration for him. So we kind of soaked up as much motorcycle racing as we could. And in the little suburb that I grew up in Australia, my oldest friend in life won a motorcycle from a television show. And his mum was my preschool teacher. And they said, "Hey, we know the Diffies race bikes. Where do you go?" So long story short, he came to our motorcycle club, and his name is Darrell Beattie. And he went on to be number two in the world in MotoGP. Mick Doohan, fellow Aussie, was number one. And so two of my old mates from Brisbane were the best two MotoGP riders in the world in the mid-1990s. So my patch of motorsport grew more and more. And, you know, I was a school teacher. I was teaching Monday to Friday, and I'd race off to the airport or drive my car somewhere to call a motocross or a supercross race. And then as the field got further and further, got broader and broader going interstate, some people invited me to start commentating on car racing. And car racing wasn't my background initially. I was a two-wheel guy. But from the moment I got into two wheels, it really kind of spread. And then I was only really pretty young. I had to make a decision. Do I take a leap of faith and try and make this a career? I didn't grow up dreaming of being a sports broadcaster. My profession or my university degree is in teaching. I'm a physical education teacher. And prior to that, I was studying at high school. I was specializing in agriculture and horticulture. I thought I was going to be a farmer or agricultural economics or something like that. So to have my career go the way that it's gone, it wasn't a dream as a kid, but it sure is a dream as an adult.
See, I love that it all starts with motorcycles, and that comes personal. But also, for those of us who are just Lee Diffie fans and don't want to wait until we get into mid to late summer to see on NBC, you have plenty going on still throughout the year. What all are you doing, Lee?
Yeah, Brad, this week actually is my first week back at work. Monstrangy Supercross Series kicks off in Anaheim in California. So I'm really excited about that. It's tremendous atmosphere. Just watching the Lions and the Vikings last night at Ford Field in Detroit, and that atmosphere in there, that's very emblematic of A1, you know, for the Supercross season. Just so everybody's so energized for the season to start again. So I'll be doing Supercross in a couple of weeks' time. We'll be in Daytona for the Rolex 24. I've got some indoor track meets and some outdoor track meets, more Supercross, more IMSA. And then, of course, in the summertime and when NBC's portion of NASCAR kicks back in on the Cup side, I'll do the final 14 races of the year.
So you get very little downtime. The Rolex 24, it seems like that race now has become a bigger part of the American conscience, that people pay attention. I know part of the interest is a lot of NASCAR interlopers, but it also just seems to be gaining so much momentum. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, very much so, Doug. I've been doing the Rolex 24 since 2003 and have just seen it evolve. And through, especially through the different forms of prototypes. Now we're in the third year of the GTP, the hybrid prototypes. These cars are incredibly sophisticated. They're pretty cool to look at as well. So people really love that. And when they had their first year, what am I counting back here in 2022? Or 2023 was the first year, that was the biggest crowd that they'd ever had at the Rolex 24. So I think the difference in technology, the different looking cars, that really intrigued people a lot. I mean, here is the simple fact for car lovers and exotic car lovers, there's 18 different manufacturers in the IMSA WeatherTech sports car series. So if you're a BMW guy or you're a Porsche person or you like Ferraris or whatever it might be, there's something for everybody. And the racing's really good. And then to your point, you throw in some NASCAR stars, some IndyCar stars, some you know, last year we had Jenson Button, Formula One world champion. There's an eclectic blend of drivers, not only from North America, but from all over the world. So, like I said before, there's something for everybody.
Quick follow-up. Do you stay up for 24 hours?
God, no.
You've got that written in your contract, huh?
No, we're so lucky that we have a couple of teams of people, and we trade out, we trade off. We do get to go back to the hotel and get a few hours sleep, but we talk about how the race teams get through it, and you know they do have to do everything. The drivers get asleep, but the mechanics and the engineers and all of the support staff, they kind of grab 40 winks when they can. But we get a few hours. We do get to go back to the hotel, but to be honest, you don't want to be away from it too long because you kind of lose the threat of it. It'd be like saying, hey. Go take an hour's break in the middle of the Daytona 500. You don't want to miss out on seeing what's going on, because when it's your turn to come back on the mic, you want to be able to still be editorially correct and have that thread and flow of the race.
You know, most recently, I think fans know you from your IndyCar coverage and everything you did with IndyCar, and then you made that transition over to NASCAR. Doug and I have had experiences where we've been in the IndyCar paddock and then gone to the NASCAR garage, and even though it's quite similar, it's also quite different. Can you just talk about that transition?
Yeah, that's a really good point, and it was something that I was really intrigued by last year in 2024 in the summer. When I got my NASCAR project, it wasn't like I had never been in the NASCAR garage area, but my time was limited, you know, and it had been 7 years since I'd called Cup, and then I'd done, I don't know, maybe a handful of Xfinity races. So it had been a while since I'd been in the Cup garage. We did have that fabulous crossover weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where it was the IndyCar NASCAR weekend, but to just purely be in the Cup garage was an eye-opener. I was really blown away by how open it is. People were very welcoming, and I had a ton of questions. And if I couldn't talk to the crew chief at a time, I'd talk to some of the mechanics and the men and women in the garage area. And it was very, very open. And I thought that was a huge positive. And it was maybe even more open and welcoming than I remembered from last time.
Just kind of curiously, when it comes to telling the story of the race, you know, to broadcasting it, bringing the viewers to the racetrack, what are some of your philosophies as to what is important, whether it's the athletes to the action or anything in between?
Well, I think the human interest side, Brad, is always really important. And you guys do a great job of that yourselves. And because that's what intrigues people, right? If these were autonomous vehicles going around the track, nobody would care less, right? It's the driver you care about and the stories behind them. So the human interest is a big one. I always like stories of, I don't want to say necessarily adversity, but I love comeback stories. Or if somebody's had, you know, I don't know, like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. You know, he had a bit of a rough season, but then to win at Talladega was huge for him. And Chase Briscoe, you know, that very dramatic win in Darlington. And I like those kind of stories. So, or if there's something historically relevant on the line, you know, in Phoenix, Joey winning his third championship and joining a really special group. I have an excited, passionate way of commentating anyway. But if there's something that's really valid and really interesting, that really gets me wound up in a positive way. Like I really, of course, we can't and we don't root for anybody. But I think me, like most fans, just love a good story.
You know, speaking of those stories, there was one in particular this year at the Indianapolis 500 that kind of dominated everything. And that was Kyle Larson. And mm-hmm. I'm curious from a broadcasting standpoint, how you're able to weigh knowing that that is a huge story that lots of fans want to hear about, but also that, you know, there's all these other drivers and teams and folks invested in what's happening away from the Kyle Larson story. How do you kind of balance that out?
Alexis, that's a good question because it's hard. It's tough because he is such a talent and he's extraordinarily special. But there's not a single IndyCar driver that would begrudge him getting the attention that he deserves because they know how special he is. But yeah, that is a challenge, you know, and you get the really hardcore IndyCar people saying, stop talking about this NASCAR driver. And maybe there's NASCAR fans that are saying, hey, we want to see more Kyle Larson. So it is kind of that balancing act. To that point, I can't wait to see him go back this year. It'll be a shame that I don't get a chance to call it because it's, you know, IndyCar has changed networks, but I honestly believe that he can be the one that gets the best ever result of any of the handful of drivers who have done the double. And I really think that's achievable for him.
We're talking with Lee Diffie, NBC's anchor for their NASCAR coverage. 14 races he'll do this year for NBC and a lot of other motorsports in between. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now.
800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare.
I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
It's the first Fast Talk of 2025, and we're thrilled to be chatting with Lee Diffee. Lee took over as the network anchor for NBC's NASCAR coverage last year. He will continue that going into the new season. Lee, on YouTube, there's a thing called a reaction video, and it's usually somebody listening to a song for the first time or watching a movie clip, and they react to it. If we were doing reaction videos the first time that Lee Diffee saw, say, Martinsville, Talladega, or Darlington, what would that have looked like?
Well, I think it would have been pure joy to start with, because I loved, excuse me, and I've spoken about this quite a bit. I loved my my trip around the track every week with Jeff Burton and Steve Letarte. And so sometimes, depending on which vehicle it was, sometimes there was just enough for you know, Stevie to go with Jeff first, and then we'd come back and we'd tag team, and then I'd go with Jeff. Or probably 50% of the time, we would, all three of us would be able to go. And just to listen to Jeff's descriptions about the nuances of each track was really valuable for me. But to see something like Darlington up close, to see Talladega, got to Talladega super early in the morning, and got out there and just stood on pit lane by myself. And I was in awe. So I think any of those, if there was a reactionary video, it would have been pretty funny. I was kind of a little embarrassed at the reaction video in our booth when Harrison Burton won, and I totally whiffed the high five with Jeff Burton. So it was all elbows and armpits and everything going everywhere, and I totally whiffed and missed Jeff's hand. So I was like, oh my goodness. So anyway.
That was a great call, though, I will say, of that win, one that will go down forever as iconic. You know, I want to talk to you, obviously, about what we're going to see in NASCAR in 2025. If Lee had to kind of, you know, rub a crystal ball and think about what the biggest storylines were going to be as we head into this new season, clearly there's many paths we can take. But what do you think will be, you know, kind of dominating the headlines as we start this new season?
I'm really intrigued to see where Christopher Bell picks up from last year, given the tumultuous end to his season and the dramatic way that it went down. So can, I don't think brush aside is the right phrase for that, but can he kind of put that somehow behind and just charge on? What does Chase Briscoe do with his new team? Going as far as he did in the playoffs, what does that do for Tyler Reddick? Does he just continue to grow and grow? And then RFK as a team intrigues me. They just keep, you know, I think in all due respect to Jack Roush and the whole organization, you know, where they were once the mighty Roush Fenway, and then there were certainly some more lean years. I see that organization coming back and just getting stronger with every single season. So I think we're going to be spoiled. I just loved, as a broadcaster, the responsibility lies on you to make something interesting if a race isn't that particularly interesting. And that's when, you know, as we say in the industry, that's when you earn your pay. And I was so delighted that in the cup races that I called last year that, you know, there weren't too many where we were looking for things to say. The action was so good. So I can't wait for my second go around to see if the quality of racing is as good again, which I think it's going to be. There's some people who like this current car, and there's some people who don't. But the races that I saw last year were really enjoyable for the most part. So, yeah, there's going to be some, I think, you know, like we do all the time, you're going to play around with the tires and play around with different things and see what's better and what's not. But I just I love good competition, you know, whether that be at the Olympic Games, whether it be at an indoor track meet, down the road here in New York City, or wherever I go. I'm going to Supercross this week. I just love good racing. All I know is that I saw plenty of it last year. So hopefully that continues this year.
Yeah, I would agree with you. There are always layers that you can dive into and always action on the racetrack as well. You mentioned a couple of drivers who are going to be a little extra busy this year, and one of them's already been to Victory Lane. This past weekend, Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson had a photo finish at the Tulsa Shootout. They're going to be in the Chili Bowl coming up here in just a couple of weeks as well. But Joe Gibbs has opened the door for his drivers now to go do extracurricular racing. We know Chase Briscoe wants to do it. Ty Gibbs wants to play around on the dirt just a little bit. You know, what are your thoughts on something like that, Lee? Because there are a handful of race weekends like Las Vegas, Texas, just early in the season that Kyle Larson's High Limit Sprint Car Series is going to be racing there. We'll see some of those drivers in that.
Look, I think it's easy, Brad, for me to say because I'm not a team owner and I don't have to answer to all of those commercial partners, but I like it. I think it's a good thing. You know, and I go back to the stories of my dear friend Mario Andretti when he would go back and forth across the Atlantic, where he'd come back to the States and do a dirt race and then go back to race in Europe on the same weekend, you know, take the Concorde. I mean, that's obviously an extreme, but to see Kyle Larson have a little bit of downtime after Phoenix, have a bit of a family vacation, and then head off to Australia and do well in the Summer Sprint Car Series down there. Now he's already back and racing at Tulsa. And I just think if anybody puts up some resistance that says you shouldn't be doing that or you can't do that, isn't Kyle kind of the template that you can? It is achievable. I think the only time that it gets a little bit sticky is that if the driver or the athlete gets injured, then you're like, shouldn't have done that. It's like in the IMSA WeatherTech series, Jack Hawksworth, who's a championship winning driver in the GTD Pro class, he loves motocross and was racing motocross back in his home country of England and broke his back. And that didn't please Toyota or Lexus too much. So you have that inherent risk there, but what does that mean? Are you never going to let your drivers go snow skiing, water skiing, ride a mountain bike or a road cycle? Or where do you draw the line? And if, you know, again, Larson is the template. The more he's behind the wheel, he says, the better he is, because he's driving a car anywhere between, what, 1 and 4 times a week or 1 and 3 times a week. And so, yeah, I'm actually all for it.
Lee, Shane Van Gisbergen's become standard bearer in this sport and on the road courses. This year we're headed to Mexico City for the first time with the NASCAR Cup Series. Your addition to the NBC broadcast crew, how close is NASCAR now to truly becoming international?
I can only see it getting bigger, Doug. I think, I feel, and again it comes back to people want to see good racing. And I like the way that the NASCAR executive group is thinking and planning. And, you know, the rumors about a San Diego street race and just moving things around. Chicago has been a great success. Mexico City, it'll be welcomed with a massive crowd. I'm all for pushing the boundaries while keeping the core traditional historic events and venues in place. I think that's the key thing, respecting the history while exploring some new territory at the same time. And that's a difficult balance too, isn't it? But I think you know, the whole program has so much to offer, and to take it to some new markets while still embracing and cherishing the footprint and the historical footprint, and you can't move away from that. But if there's some new territories to push, why not?
You know, I think Shane has also shown where, obviously having a driver, you know, a foreign driver racing in NASCAR brings more popularity, I think, to NASCAR in that area than even going to these different race courses. I mean, obviously we want to race in different places. Mexico City is going to be fantastic, but I think potentially the key behind getting a more global movement is having a more diverse field of drivers. Would you agree?
Oh, spot on, Alexis, because outside of the US, I'll use Supercross. I'm off to Monster Energy Supercross this week, okay? So outside of the United States, I think one of the biggest or the largest area of interest and viewership and engagement outside of the United States is Australia. Why? Jet Lawrence and Hunter Lawrence, his brother, are running up the front, and they have just whipped up so much interest and have now set a new footprint and path for young riders from either Australia or South Africa or New Zealand or wherever to try and come to the United States and race. It's very similar in IndyCar. Tremendous viewership in the UK and Europe because of the drivers who have come from there, and Scott Dixon and Will Power and Scott McLaughlin coming from Australia and New Zealand. And so wherever that might be, the heartbeat and the majority of the body is always going to be American. That's never going to change because it's an American sport and it's a beloved historical American sport. But if there's a few internationals that can be sprinkled in there, it spices it up a little bit and then creates interest and a bigger footprint internationally, which I think is a positive.
Lee, I'm an everything with an engine guy. It doesn't matter if it's two wheels, four wheels, on road, off road, even boats, and all of that. And you cover so much. I am curious. What common threads do you see between racers throughout any of the disciplines that you've covered or spent time in?
It's their dedication. I think it's having grown up around guys who went on to become world champions, and then now I get to sit beside, you know, people like Ricky Carmichael and Jeff Burton and James Hinchcliffe and Townsend Bell and Dale Earnhardt Jr. when he was with us on NBC Sports, and Paul Tracy when Paul was with us, and commentated with two-time motorcycle world champion Barry Sheen, the late Barry Sheen. They all have a very common thread of they're just so laser focused and driven and determined and competitive. You know, you could have a race with them to the commentary booth door, and they'd want to beat you into the booth. You know, they all have that. And then when I go and do the Olympics, whether it be in the Winter Games with bobsled, skeleton, or luge, or track and field that I just did in Paris last year, it's the same. It's just their dedication. It's their dedication to success, to the process, but also the result. And it's I think for us in the sport, that's somewhat, it's infectious. You can't help but get swept up in their enthusiasm, but you have to also respect. And I sometimes just sit there and listen to their stories and have nothing but admiration for them about their journeys and then ultimately their success stories.
Lee, this is kind of a random question to wrap up on, but it ties into what you were just
talking
about.
Where's it going,
Doug? No, it's not bad. Your eclectic taste in doing all of these reminds me a lot of a good buddy of mine in Ralph Shaheen. Have you worked with Ralph at all? Do you guys cross paths?
Yeah. We worked together back in Speed Channel. I don't ever think we were on air at the same time because he does play-by-play as well. And then he did pit reporting on NASCAR as well. But we were together. And when I lived in North Carolina, we didn't live too far from each other. So he lived up in Mooresville and I lived in Cornelius. And we would occasionally socialize. But I was at Speed for 10 years and he was there all that time as well. So there's so many of us around the place that still hold Speed Channel very near and dear to our hearts.
So Ricky Rudd says he mountain biked with you. Who's in better shape?
He was in better shape. I'll give you one of Ricky Rudd's famous one-liners to me. He's like, he said, you're a heck of a bike rider. And I said, oh, thanks, Ricky. He goes, you just need to work on your cardio.
Nice.
That sounds like him. Lee, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I will unabashedly say for the three of us here, we love what you bring to the NASCAR universe, and just keep doing what you're doing, man. It's awesome.
Thank you, Doug. And I know that we spoke in person. Congrats on your tenure and everything that you've done for the sport. And you know, it's going to be a while until I'm back in the garage, but I just can't say thank you enough to the sport, to the fans, to the people in the garage area and everything, because I never expected that I would get the opportunity to work in the NASCAR Cup Series. I still can't believe that it's happened, and I loved every minute of it. And I can't wait until later this summer to see you all again at the track and to see the fans again, and wishing everybody a successful year.
What's your first race back for NASCAR?
Can I check?
Sure.
Can you give me a second?
Yeah.
Can you give me a second? I should know that off the top of my head, but the schedule's a little bit scrambled. It should be Iowa. I should have known that off the top of my head. Iowa.
No. Out in the cornfields, the great Midwest. All right. Yeah. Lee, thanks very much, man. Enjoy having you as part of the NASCAR family. Lee Diffie, he is the play-by-play voice for NASCAR on NBC. Mike Wallace, 65 years old. He's going fast. We'll talk about him next.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country.
Hi, I'm Christopher Bell, and this is the fastest 2 hours on the radio, Racing Country. I still have a lot to prove to compete at the level that I want to compete at. We have more to accomplish in the sport, and we want to do better than what we've done the last 2 years.
Racing Country.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are and where the future stars of NASCAR are made.
First career win for James Friesen of the TAS Racing Sportsman Series.
PRN's At the Track is a people show about the people of grassroots racing. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's fattest bull rings. Hear PRN's At the Track each week on broadcast radio stations, the free PRN app, or at goprn.com.
Well, if you were listening earlier, I hope you enjoyed Lee Diffie as much as the three of us did. That was fantastic. It was announced over the weekend that Mike Wallace, 65-year-old Mike Wallace, veteran NASCAR driver, is going to attempt to run in this year's Daytona 500. He sat down with his little brother, Kenny Wallace, on Kenny's podcast, Kenny's Conversation, to talk about just that.
I had stepped away from the sport for a couple years. I was focusing on the health of my wife, Carla, who unfortunately passed away in January of 2024. And, man, I've been a little lonesome. You know, I've been a little lonesome, and I'm having a great time with my kids. But this opportunity came up, and I wasn't done racing when I kind of, you know, people say, oh, you quit. And I said, I don't know if I quit. I says, I just stepped back from it. So, that's it. I mean, I'm ready to get pumped up. I'm motivated for 2025. It's a new part of life for me totally. And what better way to start it than at a place that I love to race at? I think I still have the capabilities. I'll know the first lap on the racetrack. And I made a commitment to myself and to the team that for some reason I don't feel right or something's not cool, I'll just get out of it. But I don't foresee that, because you know what's happened, Herm? I've been working out, man. I've been getting tough. And, you know, I think my mental awareness is really good still. And we'll just see what happens.
So there's Mike Wallace's reaction, 65 years of age. Brad Gilley, what's your initial response to that?
My initial response is, hey, look, if you think you can do it, go for it. Mike Wallace has won at Daytona in both the Craftsman Truck Series and in the Xfinity Series, and I think that's great. When you put the age on it of 65, and granted, there are people who are in varying levels of shape, that's one of those things that concerns me. I like the idea of thinking this is a premier sport with premier athletes, but if he feels like he's in shape, by all means, go for it. It's a hard race to qualify for if you're an open team, and I'm sure that would make for a great story for Mike Wallace fans.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is I don't really think NASCAR would allow somebody to go out there if they didn't feel like they could do it. You know, they're not going to put anybody in an unsafe situation. And just like Mike said in his interview, you know, if there's something that happens and I feel like this isn't something I should be doing, I won't do it. And so I think, you know, that's the way our sport is. If you qualify, if NASCAR says you qualify to be on the racetrack and you have a car to drive, then you can enter. And so that's what he's doing.
All right. Remember, and I know it's cliche to say this, age is just a number. The number of 65 for retirement comes about from the German leader Bismarck, who needed Germans to stop working so more people could get jobs.
Right.
You know, so he just arbitrarily came up with the number, okay, you're going to retire at 65.
Yeah.
That it's one person, the German Chancellor Bismarck, that decided 65 was the age that you should retire.
How am I not surprised that you know that fun fact?
That's fun. Hey, it's also the age at which commercial airline pilots can no longer hold a commercial airline pilot's license. So
good luck. At least Mike Wallace doesn't have to fly a Daytona. Good luck to you, Mike. Have a big time. No Mike for a long time, and go make the show and be part of the show.
Look, like Brad said, it's a very hard race to qualify for. Yeah, so
Brad referenced it. Fun fact, Mike Wallace won the first ever NASCAR Craftsman Series truck race at Daytona and came over and was at the Volusia Mall on the PRN show.
Ah, nice. He was always really good at Daytona, yeah, in any series, yeah, Cup as well. So
this, if you're going to do this, do it there. We'll take a break. Be right back.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Recording this show on January 6th, which means we are less than a month away from the now cookout clash at Winston-Salem at Bowman-Gray Stadium. Less than a month.
Are you going to go?
I'm debating.
It's so close.
I mean, it's 45 minutes from my house to drive over to Winston-Salem. Yeah, I should go. You know, anybody can get me credentials.
I'll work on it for you.
Do that.
I bet you 2024 hard cards still work. Okay?
Probably. You know. NASCAR credentials got Brad and I into Comic-Con in Atlanta one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Look. May have been my best use ever of a NASCAR pass.
I hear you. I know a couple people that have gotten into NASCAR parking lots with a Blockbuster card. So.
I have no doubt, because most of the time the poor security person is just trying to keep the traffic moving. If you hold up something, I think you could hold up a room key and they would say, let's go.
That was many years ago, though. I don't know. I think they've cracked down.
Yeah, they have a barcode on them now. But I don't know. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not long enough retired to tell quite all those stories. I'm kind of geeked about this whole Bowman Gray thing, Brad. I like the fact it's a small venue. I'm ballparking here. It may hold 20,000 people, but there will not be an empty seat. I don't care how cold it is or what the weather's like outside of precipitation. Place is going to be packed.
It is going to be packed. And here's what I love, because February 1st is the first day. That's practice and heat races, but also the modifieds are going to run there. And this is where Bowman Gray Stadium earned the nickname the Madhouse. And to me, I'm just as excited about the modifieds being there on February 1st. Bobby Labonte is going to be racing a Cookout-sponsored car, by the way. But I'm just as excited about that as I am the clash with the Cup cars on February 2nd. I mean, two amazing days of action on this little bitty racetrack, which literally is the size of a running track around a football field. It just happens to be paved. And with the excitement that we saw in Los Angeles at the Coliseum, now this becomes, even though it's the Clash, which has been around for decades, by the way, now that this is something new in a new venue, it's almost an inaugural event. And who doesn't want to win the first one as NASCAR returns to Bowman Gray?
I was going to say, there will not be any empty seats in the house. I mean, Bowman Gray itself, when you even talk about the local series that it hosts, there's typically no empty seats. So when you think about the fact that, you know, NASCAR's Cup Series is going there, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And if you're wondering, well, what is Cookout? Cookout is
it's a chain.
Fast food chain. It is known for... It's not super expensive, and you get a lot of food.
The variety on their menu is quite crazy, too.
Yeah, you can get a cheeseburger with a side of corn dog and quesadilla for like $5.50.
Yeah.
And then get a milkshake, because honestly, if they're really known for something, it is their incredible variety of milkshakes that they have. People swear by them.
And not at them. No, it's
unless they get a brain freeze.
They're very, very popular with college kids because of the amount of food that you get
for a small amount of money.
A reasonable amount of expense. So good to have Cookout aboard. It's a sponsorship. You know, the winning drivers should get like Cookout milkshake for life.
Yeah.
Hey.
That would be nice. Like
that would
platinum
be nice.
Or maybe we should make them in the beginning of February pour a Cookout milkshake on them like they do milk at Indy.
Or it might warm them up.
You think they could get behind that? Doubt it.
By the way, I watched the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which was held here in
Charlotte. I saw you tweet about it. Yeah.
And they should be embarrassed for the way that that was broadcast. It was not coverage of Minnesota versus Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
It was a 3-hour Duke's commercial with the commentators basically dissing mayonnaise the whole time.
Yeah, you said it was quite cringy.
I had a hard time watching it. It was fun. I got it. I mean, I pimped more stuff on the air than I know what.
Well, not everybody can be the Pop-Tart Bowl, okay?
Yeah.
You just can't.
Which might be worse. You know,
I thought that was kind of cool.
It was funny. Their content was great.
I mean, the Pop-Tart Bowl, don't you get to eat the trophy?
Maybe.
It's a big Pop-Tart.
At the end of the Duke's Mayo Bowl, they pour mayonnaise over the winning coach.
That's wrong.
And I like mayonnaise, and I'm a Duke's person. Sorry, Dale Jr. I know you endorse Hellman's, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I might throw the bowl game just so I don't get mayonnaise dumped on top of me. Coming back, what do we think the big story of this year will be? We'll talk about that next.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Headed to Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
We saw a lot of chaos in the closing laps of the race, so just trying to minimize that, make it more about a race than people just using each other up.
I think it's needed. It was needed at all the road courses.
While I don't think it's going to be a home run, I think that it'll be in the right direction.
So many opportunities to either be really good or make mistakes, and they can start adding up on you quick.
For the latest NASCAR news without a restrictor plate, it's PRN's Garage Pass. For the station near you, check us out at goprn.com.
Hi, this is PRN's David Stiles. Join me each week when I head over to JC's Garage to talk NASCAR.
As of right now, if I were to name my top five, I could tell you Chase Elliott wouldn't be in that top five with this next-gen car. He has a lot to prove on the road courses with this next-gen car, but I still don't think there's a real out-front leader. I think Tyler Reddick has been outstanding.
That's JC's Garage, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Minutes left here on this edition of Fast Talk. I want to whip around with our panelists here as we are already into the new year of 2025. Brad Gilley, let's start with you. What is the one story that you, as of right now, before we've turned the first lap of competition, going to be watching heading into this new year?
Excuse me. One thing I'm curious about is, will we get a first-time winner this year? And right now, we have eight drivers who are running in the Cup Series who have not yet gone to victory lane. And from drivers like Carson Hocevar and Noah Gregson, Todd Gilliland, and so on and so forth, to a driver that a lot of us honestly expected to see go to victory lane last year in Ty Gibbs. But there really are not a lot of drivers who have not won races in the Cup Series. I know Alexis is also thinking about another big one, which would be Josh Berry over at Wood Brothers. I think there's great potential for us to see those great moments this year, and I do look forward to that. We already know the teams that are good. I want to see who's next and who's going to start stepping up this year.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to pick one storyline just because when you think about it, there are so many storylines heading into the season. But to step away from the driver's side, even though I think that's going to be huge and we're all going to be watching new drivers and new roles and seeing where they go, I think that race at Mexico City, can it be a success? This is something that NASCAR has been trying to do for years and is now having the opportunity to put that in into practice and see how fans in Mexico City react, see how the drivers react, the industry reacts. And I think that's going to be really important for where we potentially can go even farther into the future. So that's going to be one of the biggest storylines, I think.
I agree with both of you on that. I'm going to be watching the Kyle Busch story down at Richard Childress Racing.
Too.
I think after the disappointment last year of his win streaks being broken and him not being a factor in the NASCAR Cup Series, can he get back some of it? I don't know that he'll ever be, as Bruce Springsteen talked about, the glory days. You know, he's not going to blow that old speedball by him. But can he be relevant again? Can Kyle Busch win a couple of races and we'll be talking about him with 10 laps to go in the races? I kind of hope so, because it's funny. He gained in popularity. He switched over to Richard Childress Racing, and suddenly he's not the despised driver, and the performance drops off. Can Kyle Busch be relevant?
The last thing that I want is for us to be on this show and David Stiles to be giving you the day count of how many days it's been since Kyle Busch has made it to victory lane. So, yes, I also hope that we see Kyle get a win this year and return to some form of success.
What do you think, Brad?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to take a guy who's won 64 races and say, can you do it again? I realized that when Jimmy Johnson won his 83rd race, which, by the way, was the third win of that season in the first third of the season, that I don't think anyone thought he would stop at 83, except for maybe you, because you started counting at day one. I find it hard to believe that Kyle Busch's days in Cup Series victory lane are over.
So let's see what KB can do from RCR down in Welcome, North Carolina. I think that's going to be a fun story to watch. Big thanks to Lee Diffie. Frankly, we could have had him on for the whole show, and that would have been fantastic. We appreciate his half hour that he gave us today. For Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson, David Stiles, Kent Bernhardt, I'm Doug Rice. We'll be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco UltraTech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.